Sister Val sung both songs she sung today was about the light, about enlightenment. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. We've been talking about God using our visual part of our brain to speak to us, to give us plans, to help us understand things, to see ourselves in who He said that we are, for the light to come on, the illumination of God to illuminate our hearts and our minds. And once you get a picture of that, once you let God give you a picture of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, everything begins to change in your life. You don't put up with the garbage that's been put into you. Your identity starts changing, praise God, which is a very important thing. Our identities are made up of three parts until Jesus gets a hold of us. The first part is genetic. We have a genetic identity that's you know, we look like parents and family. We have characteristics. We do different things that act like them. You know, my dad, if you ever see him walking around, his little finger sticks straight out like that a lot. And the best I can do, I catch myself doing that, and everybody in my family makes fun of us when we do that because he gets that little finger going like that, and it's just a character. I don't know what causes it to draw up like that, but it just does. And so we have little things like that we do that is like our family. That's our genetic identity. And you know, you got your nose from somebody. You can dislike them if you want to, but it's there. You know, you got different things from this person, that person. And the second identity is the given identity. And that's what happens through experiences, through relationships as you're growing up, and through things that are said to you, things, repetitious things that happen that are said, and that's the given identity. It's the identity that everyone around you begins to give you. And then when we get into adulthood, we have what I call the accepted identity. And that's the identity we end up accepting from the mixture of all of it. And, that's not a clear identity of who we are. Because a lot of that is not what God gave us. A lot of that is what this world gave us and what people gave us. And you have to, when you're born again, you get a whole new identity, and your identity in Christ begins to determine and give you a clear picture of who you actually are and what God has actually created you to be. And when you begin to get that clear picture of what God has created us to be, then everything begins to change because you start putting off that trash that's been put on you and statements that was said to you when you were younger and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You begin to put it off because you found a new truth. You found a revelation. You found an understanding that is more powerful than that was. And when you begin to get a real revelation of that, you know, I've taught for 4 hours one time in a place in South Africa called KwaMashu, and it's one of the, it was kind of the center part of where the battles took place over apartheid and things like that. And there was so much segregation and, you know, those battles, that took place over there and that they're still fighting. I went in there to teach in a little Bible school in KwaMashu. And it was a very violent area. The, police, thank you very much. The police wore riot gear and rode around in armored vehicles and things like that. We couldn't get a cab driver to take us there. They refused to take us there because it's such a violent area. But we needed to go there and teach the gospel. And we finally got a Muslim cab driver to pick us up. And he took us. He picked us up. He made the mistake nobody else made. He made the mistake of picking us up without finding out where we were going. And so we began to head down, and I was with Brother Craig, and we was driving, you know, and he kept saying, "Where are we going?" And Brother Craig would just give him the next road, you know, next road. And finally he said, Where do you want to go? And he said, we're going to Quamashu. He said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, we cannot go there. We cannot go there. It's too dangerous. We can't go there. And Brother Craig said, sure, we can go there. He said, no, we can't go there. And Brother Craig said, oh, yeah, we can go there because God's with us. And we can go there. And he just kept talking to him, you know, as we was driving and finally getting there. And Craig told him, said, look, if you want to take us into that area, drop us off and leave, you can, if you want to get out of there. And we get there, and the guy was so afraid that he didn't leave. He stayed there all day long. And after we were done, got ready to leave, we asked him, said, why'd you stay? He said, I cannot leave. He said, God is with you. So he sat there and listened to our teaching all day long. And but I taught that day on spiritual identity, the identity of Christ in us. And the first 2 hours that I taught, it was just hard. I mean, just I was just laboring to try to communicate the truth. And everybody was listening to me. There was people from, guys from Zimbabwe. There was people from all over Africa. There was different, you know, people from all different places. And they were sitting there very skeptical of what I was teaching and just not able to process what I was teaching about the identity of Christ. And I started talking about the identity of persecution, the identity of bigotry, the identity of prejudice, and you know, things like that, and just kept teaching about that. And then we took a break, and the last 2 hours, as I began to teach and it began to develop more, I started seeing the lights come on in people's eyes. And they began to light up because they began to realize what I was talking about. And I began to talk about the fact that they were not just South Africans. They were not just Zimbabwe. The different areas that they were from, they were children of God, which made us all in the same family. And I told them, I said, we look a little different, but I said, we're related. So you have to accept me because we're related, you know. And when I'm in Rwanda, I like to, when we're getting ready to preach, I always put my arm around Augustine, our leader over there, which he's about this tall and doesn't look nothing like me. And I always put my arm around him and say, you know, this is my brother. Did you know that? And they always laugh. I said, no, look, can't you see the resemblance? We're brothers. And they always laugh real big about that. But then I talk about the fact that all divisions have been removed in Jesus Christ, and we are the same. And so that identity in Christ changes the identity that this world has put on you and your experiences have put on you, and it causes you to break out. Even if people don't want to let you break out of the identity they accept you in, you still have the power to break out of it because of what's in you, because of the vision, the understanding that you have, and the insight. And so to have that enlightenment is very, very, very important, especially in our day. There's so much darkness. I want to read, again, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, out of the Amplified Bible. It says, because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God, or give him thanks. But instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginations, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculation. And their senseless minds were darkened. That statement, that their senseless minds were darkened, is a very sad statement. But we're living in a time where there's a lot of darkened minds. And I don't remember a time where there was so many stupid speculations and people just, you know, their minds are just so darkened, so confused and don't know what the truth is and don't know how to fix the truth. And everybody has their agenda and it's a personal agenda. And so their foolish minds were darkened. We don't want the darkness of this world to be our theme, do we? In the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "In them indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. And you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. For this nation's heart has grown gross," which means fat and dull, "and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears, and grasp and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them." What a powerful statement. "They turn, and I shall hear them." How? By the darkness being removed. That inability to see. It says that they close their eyes tightly to keep from being able to see. You have to really be committed to your agenda to ignore facts and truth and continue, don't you? And so he said, they have closed all this off. They've refused to see. They've refused to grasp. They refuse to understand with their heart. And lest they should turn, and I should heal them. But blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men who are upright and in right standing with God, yearned to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Jesus turned to the disciples and said, But happy, enviable are you, because you do see it. Your eyes have been opened. Your eyes enlightened. If you have the enlightenment today of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and alive in you, then Jesus said you are enviable, you are blessed, you are happy, because you have seen and you perceive today. The ability to perceive is a tremendous thing. When you can't perceive something, it locks you up. You can't go any further. You can't do anything. If you can't perceive it, then you can't have it. Amen. But Jesus said to the disciples, but you can perceive it and you can have it, because we have to be able to see it. It's always frustrating to try to explain something to somebody and they not be able to see it. You know? To try to paint a picture for them, you know, I do a lot of building, and when I'm talking to homeowners or whatever, and we're talking about what they want to do, and I'm trying to explain to them what, you know, if I've got somebody that has a visual ability, a mechanical mind, then I can put it together for them and they got it. But if I'm talking to somebody that can't see it unless it's there, they can't see it in their mind. It is so hard to try to get them to understand what it is. Matter of fact, I've worked for a lot of people. Thankfully, they had a lot of money, and that couldn't see anything until it was built. And once you get it built the way they thought they wanted it, then they'll look at it and say, "No, that's not how I want it. Tear it out." You know, so you tear it out, and you rebuild it until they actually see what they want. Now, you got to have a lot of money to do that. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money. But, you know, it's not that they're unhappy with your work. It's just that they can't see it unless it's right before them, unless there's some type of picture in reality. But Jesus has come to open our eyes so that which is not apparent, that which can't be seen with the natural eye, can be revealed to us in our spirits, and we can see it even though we don't Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Hope, sees in existence what does not exist. And so we, by faith, we're able to grab hold of something before we have it in our hands. We're able to literally feel it, to see it, to touch it before we possess it. And that's what I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, is being able to possess something in your spirit to the point that it literally exists in you. Everybody else might think you're crazy, but you can see it. You know, they might be blind to it, but you can see it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It's like the guy that was in a hospital and a bed, and he was over by the wall, and there was another man in another bed, and he was by the window. And they were in there quite a while, and the guy that was over by the wall, he kept saying, he'd ask this other guy, "Can you see outside?" And he'd say, "Yeah." He'd say, "What's it look like?" And he'd explain to him, "Oh, the sun's shining. There's clouds in the sky." And he'd just start explaining all this stuff. And he would explain it to him. Every day he would explain to him what was going on. And pretty soon the guy that was by the window left. And another guy come in, and the nurses, and the guy that's over by the wall was telling him, said, "Man, I really enjoyed having him here because he explained to me every day what it looked like outside." And they said, "That man was blind. He couldn't see out that window. He saw it in his spirit. He was relating what he saw in his spirit. And he related it so well that the other guy thought he was painting him a picture, because he possessed it inside of him. It was a hope. And so faith is a substance of things hoped for. Literally, you can feel it. It's tangible to you because you have possessed it through faith. You have downloaded it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you have the ability, beyond what the world has, you have the ability to grab hold of the things of God. The reason I got up this morning and come to church to preach wasn't because I felt like it, but because I possessed it. I was, you know, I'm stubborn in that anyway. I just won't hardly give in, which might not be a good thing, but I do that because it's always, God always blesses, and I'm always able to receive because He's there. It's not just a hope that has no consistency or no tangibility. We have a hope that we literally know is present with us. I know that Jesus is present with me. I know He's there. I know He's walking with us. And you know, there's been times that I've been in bad situations by myself with no help, and yet I did not feel alone. Why? Because there was a tangible presence. There was a tangible faith with me that I knew that God was with me. I knew that He was walking with me. I had that agreement in my heart. I could picture it and I could see it, and I knew, that God was with us. Praise God. So to have that darkness upon us, what an awful thing to live in darkness. You know, I've told people a lot of times, don't try to push people, don't try to get people or convince people something that is darkness to them. Until the revelation comes, they're not going to be able to see it. You know, you got to believe for revelation light to be able to, for them to be able to see this thing. You know, there's been times I've had to pray for people until the light come on, and they could actually see the revelation. They could actually see what they need. But Jesus said that this nation, they've grown gross and dull, and they can't see, they can't hear. No matter how much they hear, they can't hear. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? For us as Christians, there's a lot of Christian people that hear the gospel over and over and over, and they never hear it. I mean, they've heard more messages preached and stuff. They listen to it all the time. I know people that listen to preaching on TV. They listen to stuff all the time, and yet when it comes down to it, they possess nothing in their spirit, and so they have to constantly try to find it from somebody else because they don't possess it. But when all that's taken away from them, what have they got? You know, we've got more gospel in America than anybody in the rest of the world has, and yet we've got more people that are blind and deaf than if with all the revelation that has been released in this nation was actually heard, we would have an awesome major awakening of the presence of God. I mean, there is all kinds of revelation being revealed. You know, I love to listen to preachers that are able to do that. They're able to just take something and make it so alive. You know, Brother T.D. Jakes, I love to listen to Brother T.D. Jakes. I wish I could preach like him, but I can't. But I love to listen to him because he can take one thing in the Bible, and by the time he gets done with it, it's the greatest revelation you ever got. I mean, you know, he's able to do that. Just turn it around. You know, there's another guy called Ron Carpenter that I've caught a few times, and he's able to do that. You know, just able to make it alive to you, able to just make the lights come on. And when you listen to somebody like that, that is awesome. And we got multitudes of people doing that and speaking that. We got churches that are full of people, and yet we don't seem to have an awakening of the presence of God. Why? Because hearing, we can't hear. And seeing, we can't see. Okay? And so we have to have that revelation that causes us to be able our eyes to open and say, wow, you know, I possess that. It's not just an exciting thing, it's an impartation. You know, you can get excited about things. You can get a revelation, get excited about it, and tomorrow you'll be something else. But when you really get it is when it's a revelation to you and it becomes an impartation to you. Not just an exciting revelation, but it literally becomes part of your life. It becomes your life structure. It becomes what you base your life on, what motivates you and what keeps you going in life. And so that ability to be able to grasp and see and understand is the ability to literally possess the things that God has given us. We've been given, in 2 Peter, he said that we've been given great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. And it said, by these that we may partake in the divine nature. Well, you can't partake in the divine nature until you get an understanding of the great and precious promises. That is the avenue. That's what opens it up to us. That's what makes it available, is that revelation of the great and precious promises. And once you get a hold of that, then you're able to embrace the thing that God has given you. I remember I was praying one day when I first began to preach, and I try to just be vulnerable and open to people because that's what helps people more than anything. When I first started preaching, I couldn't read. I went all the way through school and never was able to learn how to read. Don't know why. It was, you know, it was something that I struggled with. I couldn't get to the end of a sentence. My attention span was just, you know, I would read part of a sentence, and by the time I got halfway through it, my mind was gone somewhere else. I then went, you know, five different places, and I'd try to read it over and over and over. It's very frustrating to try to do that. And so I made it all the way through school, somehow, bluffed my way through. And I perceived things and picked up things through osmosis. You know, I would just literally understand things because of listening and hearing And you know, and then I had my own, I lived in my own world. I had my own way of doing things. You know, this might sound crazy, but I loved true and false tests. I never read the questions, never read the directions. But when I'd get a true and false test, I would look at, I'd count how many questions there was to answer, how many T's and F's there needed to be. And then I would do an equation of, and I would look at the teacher and I would think, okay, does this teacher have a negative aspect or does this teacher have a positive aspect? And I would think about the personality of the teacher, and so then I would make a percentage of how many F's and how many T's there was going to be. And so I'd fill in my T's first, and I'd develop a pattern. And I'd fill in my T's, you know, doing this pattern, and then I'd put the F's in, hand it in, and get a B+ on it. Never read a line. You know, did all that through what was available to me out here instead of what was on that paper. And so you get quite an education when you do that. You learn a lot. And I got an education the school never understood. And I learned how to do things in ways that they never understood. But when I began, when God called me to preach, that was a very hard thing for me because I had to get up in front of people and read. And I would stumble through things, you know, and it was just very difficult. And then God began to ask me to do some stuff that was going to put me kind of in the public eye. And I really didn't want to go there because I thought they're going to find out that I have this disability. And, you know, they're just it's just going to be, you know, one of these big disappointments and all this kind of stuff. And I was praying about it one day. God was speaking to me and asked me to do this stuff. And I was praying about it one day. And I said, God, you know, you're not blind to this thing. You know what I've struggled with all my life. You know where I'm at. And Jesus said this. This is what I'm talking about, revelation, to begin to perceive of that divine nature. And I was praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, do I have disabilities? I said, no, I don't guess you do. He said, well, who's in you? Who's empowering you? He said, you do not have disabilities when you're in me. When you're in you, you have disabilities, but when you're in me, you have no disabilities. It was just like the lights come on. I mean, I got this revelation that wasn't just exciting, it was an impartation. It became my life. It became who I was. And that day, God transformed me, and I have no problems now. I mean, I can speed read. I read book after book. I read all the time. Matter of fact, I get tired of reading because everywhere I look, if I'm sitting in a doctor's office, I got old plaques on the wall. Every time I look up, I have to read one of those plaques, and just drives me out of my mind. You know, this OCD thing just kicks in. And I have to read every plaque over and over and over because I couldn't read for so long, and now everything that I see, I read. But it came through a revelation that turned into an impartation and became who I was. I no longer had a disability because somebody in me was greater than the disability. Okay? And I was able to grab hold of that. That's why I want to have this blessing service for our kids and stuff, because there's a lot of them struggling with this stuff, and they don't have to struggle with it if they could just understand and get this understanding. And so our identity and the revelation of who we are is changed and transformed by the revelation of who Jesus is. And when we get a picture of that, when we get a mental picture of the fact that it's not me, it's Christ in me. I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do whatever He wants me to do. I can do that. Why? Because He's got the ability. You just have to yield to His ability. Amen. You just got to say, okay, God, here I am. I can do this because you're in me. I can't tell you how many times, you know, getting up here this morning, being so, you know, I can't tell you how bad I felt this morning. Matter of fact, Brother Steve knocked on the door of my office about 10 minutes till church time, and I was sitting there in my chair sound asleep. I mean, I was struggling trying to function. But I can't tell you how many times around this world in different situations in different countries that I've done that. And I've with no strength, no ability to function, and yet say, God, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna put out the effort, and I just trust you to fill in the blanks. And he does it every time. I mean, he's there. He makes it happen. And we're able to function. We're able to go. Why? Because it's not our ability, it's not our strength, it's the strength that lives inside of us. And the only way you can grab hold of that is to grab hold of the understanding. I'll never forget when I first began to get a hold of this. It was through, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe that's the chapter it's in. And it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? That you have of God and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And one day I was reading that, and it just lit up to me, and I realized that, hey, I'm just the vehicle. I'm just the vehicle that is carrying the person. The God person. He lives in me. He's part of me. Amen. I am a vessel. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, which I have of God. I'm not my own, but I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glory. So God has ownership of this body. And so a lot of times I tell God, listen, your body is not doing very good. You need to do something about it. If you want me to keep going, it was like I told him in South Africa that one time when I got that bad infection in my blood and just shut me down, and I was unconscious and all that kind of stuff, and it wasn't looking good, and very, very sick, couldn't see for whatever reason. I'd practically went blind, and I couldn't see, and I was all by myself, and I just simply told God, I said, God, let's talk about ownership. When you get a revelation of who you are, I said, God, if this is where it ends, I'll see you in just a few minutes, looks like. I mean, you know, here we you know, I'm ready. If this is where it happens, you know, I'm ready. I'll see you in just a few minutes. But if not, if you want to get a few more miles out of me, then you might ought to do something. That's how me and God talk to each other. And I said, you know, if you want to get a few more miles out of me, then you might ought to do something. And he did. He raised me up. Amen. I shouldn't have been able to come back from that. Shouldn't have been able to just get over that. But I refused to go to the hospital. Ended up going with a pastor that I'd never met before. God had sent through several things, through Betty calling Brother Steve and Brother Steve calling another pastor. And that pastor called a pastor in South Africa, 800 miles away, and that pastor called a pastor close to the airport in Johannesburg where I was at, and told him, said, there's a guy that's sick in the airport, you need to go help him. And so he come and searched for 2 hours for a sick white guy. And he finally found me. Had no idea what I looked like. He just knew there was a sick white guy in the hospital or in the airport. And he finally found me and took me to his house. And I was extremely ill. And they took me to his house. I mean, I'm at a stranger's home that I'd never met before in another country, and totally incapacitated, totally at their will. And they took me and put me to bed in a room. And the doctor there at the clinic, that's where they ended up taking me, is this little clinic in the airport. And the doctor had given him some antibiotics and told him, said, look, he's got to take these. He should be in the hospital, but, you know, at least these will help him some. You know, he's got this very nasty infection in his blood. And so this pastor would set his clock. And in the middle of the night, every 4 hours, he would wake up, and he knew that it would make me sick if I took these on an empty stomach. So he would wake up, make some toast, And then Brent, come and wake me up, get me awake, and hand feed me this toast. I mean, we're talking about God intervening here. And then he'd give me the antibiotics. Of course, you know, one little bottle of antibiotics ain't gonna do that. But it helped. But God raised me up. Why? Because he wanted to get a few more miles out of me. He had some more stuff for me to do. Okay? Why? Because this belongs to him. He has ownership. Amen. He has ownership, just like right now. God has taken ownership of my body. Amen. This isn't why what I'm doing right now is not how I feel, but there's somebody inside of me that is so powerful, so awesome, so amazing, that can do anything and everything, and he can raise you back up. He can cause you to get up when you can't get up. But you got to have that revelation in your mind and see yourself as that person. Your identity is in who Jesus is, not in who you are. Okay? And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Praise God for the power that works in us. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. It says they close their eyes tightly, lest they should see. Praise God. They close their eyes tightly, lest they should see. What an awful thing for people to close their eyes tightly so that they can't see. To remain blind. To not want to see what God has for them. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life and that enlightenment. Jesus come to remove the darkness and cause us to perceive the light. To walk in light and not in darkness. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John, I think it is, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another. How's that go? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have you got it. Y'all look it up. It's in 1 John. I'm not recalling it right now, but you walk with God. You have fellowship with one another. You have it. In other words, it removes the darkness. It removes the insecurities. It removes the inabilities to function and work with one another. So we have that ability inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, I quote this all the time. I love these verses. I pray them all the time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, for I always pray to, this is out of the Amplified Bible, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Praise God. Jesus has come to enlighten us. And that spirit of revelation and understanding and knowledge. This isn't just about spiritual things or about church. This is about everyday life. In your everyday life, you can ask God to enlighten you, to help you to see, to help you to understand. There's times that things come up that I don't understand, and I'll just say, Holy Spirit, teach me about this. Help me to understand. Teach me about this. You know? And he's able to do that. He'll teach you. And a lot of times it's not until you hear yourself talking about it that you realize you've been taught. All of a sudden you're saying stuff that you didn't know before and you realize, hey, Holy Spirit is teaching me. He's taught me on this thing. And so you're able to perceive and understand and know things that you normally would not. You can ask Him in your life, with your kids, with your relationships, whatever it is. God, help me to understand. Help me to see. Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Enlighten me. Help me to see the answer. Help me to see what needs to happen. Help me to understand what I need to do. And when you're able to do that, then all of a sudden things begin to open up and things begin to happen. Why? Because now you're not in darkness. In darkness, there's no productivity. You have to have the lights on to be productive. Okay? Praise God. You can't work in the dark because you're not going to get anything done. You have to be able to see what you're doing. Besides that, you're probably going to get hurt if you work in the dark. But you have to be able to see. Praise God. What an awesome thing.